This is Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
Hit! Browns are going to win!
Mayfield, Enzone, Landry, touchdown!
With Dan Kadar and Browns beat writer Nate Ulrich of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com. With Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository.
It's intercepted! Picked off by Denzel Ward!
Chubb will take this all the way! 92 yards!
Ready, Browns fans. Now, Cover 2, a podcast on the Cleveland Browns.
And a very late night for you all. This is George Thomas from the Akron Beacon Journal. I'm with Marla Reidenauer from the Akron Beacon Journal, Steve Dorshuk from the Canton Repository, and Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal. Kind of look back at the Browns' 17-14 win over the Denver Broncos. It wasn't a pretty affair, but it was a necessary affair. Grinded out kind of game and one that they had to have. Big story of the night, and I think we'd probably all have to agree, is the way Dearness Johnson showed up. They placed trust in him to be able to perform. I don't know that anybody really expected him to perform to a level where he rushed for over 100 yards and a touchdown tonight. What about you guys?
Oh, I love Dearness, so I expect it.
I see you've got your tuna question in. So
I had to ask about that. Well, it's not tuna. I think it's dolphin fish or whatever is really what mahi mahi is. But anyway. No, but, I mean, it is amazing, though. He had one carry for 7 yards before tonight. I mean, this season. Been mostly a special teams player. So, he really helped set the tone from the beginning of the game. It was, you know, but I just thought the best part of the whole thing was at the end when he rushes you know, at the end of the game and all the offensive linemen are like pounding him on the chest and Jed Wills has got his arm around his neck. I mean, it was the kind of the encapsulation of a guy's fight for an NFL career. I just blew me away.
It was great at the end how he put the team on his back along with the offensive line to seal the win. The Broncos, they scored their last touchdown, 5:17 left. And, you know, they never got the ball back. It was incredible the way they finished the game with Dearness Johnson running the ball. And, of course, he ran a lot on that series. And then 3rd and 7 at the Denver 20, he picked up the 8 yards to get the first down, seal it. What a great story. Marla, I got to tell you, I did not expect this from him. I agree with you that he's a great story, but I did not view him as a great number one back heading in, and he and the offensive line showed out tonight, and you got to hand it to him. I mean, it really was a great story and exactly what they needed. They needed people. We hear it all the time. These cliches are never ending, but there's truth in them. Next man up. You know, you need a guy to step up. And he epitomized that tonight with all the injuries, all the adversity that the Browns are dealing with, especially on offense. They got a huge performance out of Dearness with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt down.
I'm going to split my take on Dearness Johnson and say that certainly it was the most impressive performance that we saw tonight, and probably it was the best story, although I don't know, because to me the most important story of the night is and was and maybe will be going into the near-term games, can Case Keenum win a game as the starting quarterback? And you know, obviously, you'd be an idiot to take anything away from Johnson and how hard he ran tonight. But without Case Keenum, demonstrating that that he can be not just a game manager, but a guy who can be put in pressure situations. And I thought that happened maybe as many as four times tonight, that it looked as though the Browns were going to be comfortable. And then Pat Shurmur, of all people, somehow devised a game plan that got the Broncos back into the game. So the pressure kept coming back to Keenum to prove that he can handle the moment of competing in a close game and directing a drive in a close game. So I thought his efficient passing, one of the big stats, of course, Johnson had something to do with this, but one of the big stats tonight, this hasn't been the case all year, was that the Browns were 10 of 16 on third or fourth down conversions. Of course, 9 of 15 of that was third downs. But to me, that's largely on Keenum. So I'm saying that Dearness Johnson was the most exciting story and the most impressive player tonight, but Case Keenum was the most important player.
Yeah, I agree with it, Steve, and that's mainly because quarterback's the most important position, and Case Keenum came in and really stabilized things at that spot. And what I thought was interesting in the post game, I asked Kevin Stefanski if Keenum had received any first-team reps on Tuesday in their only real practice that they had this week on the short work week and the buildup to this game. And Stefanski said no. So that really interests me, because that means that Baker Mayfield, who did practice Tuesday, got those first team reps, that the team must have had been operating under the belief at that time that Mayfield was going to play. And therefore he got the reps with the starters. So I think it's just an even bigger feather in Keenum's cap that he didn't get those reps. It was just simply walkthrough reps on Wednesday that he got, because by that time they knew that they were going to have to sit Baker. The swelling was too severe. He wasn't going to be ready on a short week to go back in there with the shoulder the way it is. And, you know, hey, guys, they paid Keenum well as a backup. And Keenum's a 10-year vet, and he's been to the NFC Championship with the Vikings in 2017 with Stefanski on the staff and all that. And on his resume says that he is the kind of guy who can go in there with no first team reps and give you what you need. And he backed it up tonight.
Nate, can we split that feather? Now, I know I split my take on Johnson and Keenum. Can we split that feather for Keenum and give the half of it to Stefanski for calling? I don't want to say Coach Kevin pitched a perfect game in his play calling tonight, but I thought he was very savvy and very insightful in the way he used Keenum. Of course, he knows him well. He should be able to use him efficiently, but it takes two to tango, and I thought the synergy and the symmetry between Stefanski and Keenum was real good tonight. I thought it was Stefanski's best game as a play caller, and this is somewhat unrelated, but I just wanted to throw it out there. But I think this was easily the Browns' best home game. You can call it ugly if you want. To me, it was kind of pretty, because it was so necessary to win tonight. I thought it was the best of the four home games that they played. And second place isn't close.
Yeah, and I will agree with you, Steve, on Stefanski in this one. And also want to point out real quick that, you know, we've commented before on fourth down not working for this team. And it's been true. It's been a problem. They haven't been efficient enough. But he went for it on fourth and three from the Denver six, okay? And that was the second series of the third quarter. Denver came out and scored on the first series of the second half and made this game really interesting. All of a sudden, you know, it's 10-7. And there it is. He could have kicked the field goal and gone up by six, but why? He was going to be aggressive, Kevin Stefanski, as we know. And I thought it was interesting because he did it with the backup quarterback, without Kareem Hunt, without Nick Chubb. Let's get to all pro right tackle Jack Conklin, missed his second game in a row. You know, obviously Jedrick Wills came back in this game, after missing the previous two. So they had their starting left tackle back, but you're still missing so many key parts. And of course, Baker Mayfield, and you still go for it on fourth and three. It just shows the trust I think that Kevin Stefanski has in Case Keenum. And of course he's going to say he trusts him, but that's backing up the words with actions. And Keenum, it may have looked awkward, but he scrambled up the middle. He gained the first down to the one, and then a short touchdown pass, obviously, to Johnny Stanton, wide open in the end zone for the touchdown on the next play. So it really did pay off.
I will say this about Keenum. It kind of, when he said he didn't have any first-team reps, it kind of explains why it didn't look so hot on some of those deep balls. But, I mean, when you figure, you know, Stefanski said that's kind of the life of a backup. You don't get reps. So that I think that kind of gives you, I guess it's encouraging for the future if you need Keenum again, that you hopefully he will have had a little more practice time and, you know, might be able to improve in that regard.
If we need him, if he's needed again, do you think Baker's going to be back in 10 days, given the news that was revealed tonight with his broken humerus, fractured humerus?
I think Keenum's going to play in the next game personally. And that's kind of an important story, obviously. And can we agree? I don't know if we can agree on this or not. In my mind, Mayfield is the guy if he's healthy, but he's not healthy. So then the debate reaches different textures and levels. But in my opinion, Mayfield's your guy when healthy, it's a serious debate. If he's not healthy and he hasn't thrown the ball very accurately, Keenum threw it more accurately tonight on the short stuff than Baker's been throwing the short stuff in recent times. So to me, it's almost a no-brainer. Let Mayfield gather himself. Let Keenum, who demonstrated that he can handle the pressure and the game plan, play again. There's one question, though, here. I'm going to throw this at you guys. It's kind of a curveball question. But, you know, if we agree that Mayfield comes back when he's healthy, do we agree? What do we do now? What does Kevin Stefanski do with D'Ernest Johnson if D'Ernest Johnson stays hot? Because the backs are going to be out a while, aren't they? Well, George, you're wrinkling your nose. But if you have a guy who's running that hard, are you saying that just because his name is Kareem Hunt, he deserves to be the number two back instead of Johnson? I don't know. I'm curious. Well, I want to see if Johnson can play his way into a role where you keep giving him carries after the other guys come back.
Kareem Hunt's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks, I believe. So that is moot for now.
Yeah, Chubb's the back, but I'm just saying, who's the number two? Does your Dearness Johnson have a chance to play his way into a
no? Because Kareem Hunt's too flexible. He works well in the run game and passing game. No.
Yeah, I will agree with George on this. Steve, as great of a story as D'Ernest Johnson is tonight, and as great as he looked as a number one back tonight, I just think that, and this is so rare, you're not going to find another team in the NFL, but he has got two guys ahead of him who are legitimately better players. Yeah, Kareem Hunt.
I'm just saying, don't say that, no, you're not allowed. I'm saying give him a chance, and if he plays lights out, and in my book, he's allowed to compete to be the number two back.
That's fine, but I just think that Kareem Hunt was probably the offense's MVP to this point in the season when he got hurt. I just think he was having a phenomenal season, and I think Nick Chubb is the best player on the offense. So I don't know. It's a weird spot, Steve. It's like, you know, two of the top five players on the roster happen to play running back.
Well, I'm with you guys. I mean, you heard when he was injured, like the guys were talking about how he's the way he throws his body around kind of, you know, represents all that they, you know, the whole, the team. So But I do say DeArnest is gonna, you know, he proved that he's, if the Browns ever let him go or whatever, he's gonna get some looks. I mean, this is a big night for him personally, whether he stays in Cleveland or not. We'll see.
I think he's a restricted free agent next year.
I don't know that off the top of my head, but like I said, I think he sort of showed that he's capable of helping someone.
Oh, he's very capable. And Steve, I see you smiling. I see you smiling.
No, don't accuse me of smiling when I'm smirking. No, I was going to make some wiseacre comment about do you guys want Kareem Hunt to be the number two back just because his 5.2 per carry average is better than Jim Brown's was in his career? But it sounds like I'm not going to get any traction on the thought that what happens if DeArnest, who did fantastically may not be a word, so I don't know, did very well tonight. To me, if he does very well again, I'm not kicking good players out of a chance to compete. So, yeah, there's the 5'2". That I was kind of smirking at this because there's Kareem Hunt at 5'2". Nate, to your point of, and of course, he has 20 catches on the air. Maybe, yeah, you can definitely argue that he is the MVP. I don't know if I would. I'd have to think about it. But then there's Chubb, whose average is 5.8, which is tremendous, obviously. It's I think the only guy averaging more per carry is Lamar Jackson, if I'm not mistaken. But DeArnest is averaging 6.3 this season. Of course, that's almost all tonight, but his stats ain't bad either.
I do want to follow up on the quarterback thing. And, I don't think there is no debate that, you know, Baker Mayfield's the guy if healthy. And the other thing is, you know, the feedback I've gotten from the Browns and you know, just people who know Baker and what he's thinking and everything. And, you know, he said to Jay Glazer, he's going to try to be ready. Stefanski said after the game that this does not change this, him disclosing this, you know, fracture. And the fact that there is a fracture doesn't change the equation from coming back this season. And, there's a chance that he could play on Halloween against the Steelers. But, you know, it's too early to give you a good number on that is what Stefanski said. So I just wanted to add that that's what was said tonight. And, you know, I totally agree with Steve. You know, I mean, the Browns definitely view – Baker Mayfield is their guy, and, you know, Case Keenum came in and did a great job, and that's exactly what he's here to do. The plan worked to perfection. In the event you don't have your starting quarterback, you're paying Case Keenum good number two money, and he went out and earned it.
Hey, Nate, can I hit you up with a quick question? That is, as you said, Stefanski said, he didn't rule Baker out, and he couldn't put a percentage on it.
Correct.
But my sense is, and I want to see if you agree with this or Marla or George, my sense is that he won't play against Pittsburgh and probably shouldn't play against Pittsburgh. Do you agree with that, or do you see it differently and you're more open-minded about it than I am there?
I'm more open-minded that he might play. Whether he should, you know – That's a different question, and I didn't think he should play tonight, and primarily because of, you know, the injuries to guys around him, especially tackles, and, you know, but you got Jedrick Wills back. Now, if you have Jack Conklin back, if your O-line's back to you know, full strength, then, you know, I think that really makes a difference and would make me look at it differently and make me think, you know, if all the boxes are checked medically and, you know, the staff is happy with the way he's moving in practice and, you know, he's feeling good and those tackles are out there, would make me feel a lot more comfortable than just one of them out there or none of them out there. Obviously, Will's got back out there, so it's halfway there.
I think you'd have to chain him in the locker room not to play against Pittsburgh, but that's just my opinion.
Well, hang on. What are you saying? You're saying that that's what Baker is going to be like, but that's what Baker was like this week. And guess what? An organizational decision was made.
No, I agree. But I just, you know, if he can heal and strengthen and get better, I think they're going to have more of a fight on their hands. I just can't. I mean, God, it's like the Steeler rivalry, or if it is one, is kind of like what he's born to do. So I think it's going to be difficult. They're basically going to have to, that's going to have to be almost a medical decision, in my opinion, to keep him out of that game.
I think the Browns should consider this thought. And that is, if Doc Hodges can beat the Cleveland Browns, certainly Case Keenum can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's harsh. that's harsh. Fair enough. Before we go, I got one question. What did you guys think of the way the defense played in the second half? I mean, I looked at it and it's like all of a sudden the coverage in the defensive backfield went soft. It went very soft to me. And it seemed like they were playing not to lose more than anything else in that second half.
I'm just going to say quickly that I remember thinking as that the third quarter was unfolding that Shurmur made some nice adjustments and whatever you think of Pat Shurmur, the way the team looked behind Bridgewater on that first drive of the third quarter reflected well on Shurmur, and it worked. And yeah, George, and Marla and Nate, those two stands or non-stands on the two long touchdown drives of the second half at this point of the season is such an important game. I mean, those were game losing defensive performances on those two. Two drives, and they kind of balance out the really good work that the team did in the second half. So, yeah, an A for the defense in the first half and probably a C minus or maybe a C or somewhere between a C minus and a C plus at best in the second half.
I'm with you, George. There was two occasions in there when the game is on the line, when you got they had – you know, guys are running wide open. I'm like, how are guys wide open with, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to go? I don't know. I still think they have a few things to fix back there. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with everything all you guys are saying. Obviously, this is an improvement, you know, from the last 2 weeks. But look at the opponents. I mean, we went from Justin Herbert to Kyler Murray to Teddy Bridgewater. No offense to Teddy Bridgewater, but – you know, he's past his best in the NFL, and he's playing hobbled with a quad and foot injury behind a shaky offensive line. And I thought this was a game that the Browns could get right defensively. They certainly did pitch in a shutout in the first half, and I agree with Steve's grades on each half. And one thing we got to keep in mind, too, you know, as hard hit as the offenses with injuries, the Browns were without, I think, their best linebacker in Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. Okay, that's one thing. But in the fourth quarter, Denzel Ward left with a hamstring injury. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to monitor moving forward, because unfortunately for Denzel, I mean, he obviously had the neck injury here recently. Now it's the hamstring. And every year you get some good play out of Denzel. He had a rough start to this season, I think, which is uncharacteristic for him. But there's always injuries and there's always missed games. And, you know, luckily you have, you know, Greedy Williams back from his shoulder last year playing pretty well for you in spots. Greg Newsom's back from his calf injury, and Troy Hill is in there as your nickel. But Denzel Ward is something that I don't think we should overlook when we're recording this video/pod. You know, that could be a very significant blow here.
All right. It is now 2 a.m. Bars are closing, and so are we. For Steve Dorshuk, Marla Reitenauer, Nate Ulrich, and myself, we're going to say goodnight. And no, I'm not going to a bar before last call. I'm going to get back to work. You guys have a good night.